the Great Reset. We're hearing more about this. Archbishop Vigano has been talking about the Great Reset. Michael Matt over at The Remnant has been talking about the Great Reset. And this past week, Tucker Carlson on Fox News was talking about the Great Reset. It's the economic, political, and religious social reset of all humanity in all countries. And this morning, I saw an interesting tweet from my buddy, Kennedy Hall. And he said, what if the Great Reset already happened?
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to explore today. We're going to talk about the Great Reset. I'm going to play the Tucker clip again. I'm going to play the Justin Trudeau clip. Because Kennedy, he's a Canadian. You're a big supporter for Justin, aren't you?
Oh, I'm huge. And I love him so much, I wish he wasn't my prime minister.
All right. Well, we're going to open up with a prayer. Our Father, Pater Noster in Latin. And we're going to talk about the Great Reset. And yeah. Did it already happen? Did it happen last year?
Yeah.
All right. Oremus, nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, advenient regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in cielo et in terra.
Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et emitti nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen.
Amen. Nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Kennedy, I for some reason expect your Latin to sound Frenchy.
French? Well,
actually sounds a little bit Italian with a little Spaniard in there.
Well, my degree is in Spanish and French and Italian, so there you go.
I can hear it. I can hear it.
Yeah.
The Great Reset. I like to play this clip.
Sure.
This is the Tucker Carlson clip, and I'm just going to – I'll pause it so you can make some comments, Kennedy, and then we'll play the Justin Trudeau clip, which is frightening and horrible because I think most of my audience has already seen it, but perhaps not everybody joining us today. Oh, and before we get started, my guest is Kennedy Hall from the Fatima Center, and please like this video. Give it a thumbs up. I guarantee you, Kennedy, that YouTube is not going to promote this video.
Shocker. I can't believe that.
A Great Reset video is not going to get share or promoted by them. So we need you out there, everybody watching it, to hit the share button and share it on Twitter, share it on Facebook, and share it on Parler. That's the new thing. Everybody got to get on Parler. Share it on Parler. And then, of course, if you're new here, please subscribe to this channel. Hit the red subscribe button or the gray subscribe button. Hit the bell next to that, and you'll be notified every time we go live. Okay, so here is the – let's hope this works. Yes, it works. Okay, so here's the – see if I can make it a little bit bigger. This is the Tucker Carlson clip, him talking about Vigano and Justin Trudeau. Here we go.
Watch this video from September. You may not have seen it. It wasn't played much in this country. This is the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, speaking to the United Nations.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Okay, so he refers here, Kennedy, to the Great Reset and then his pre-pandemic plans.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
His pre-pandemic plans?
Yeah, that's what he says. Pre-pandemic plans.
Honestly, Justin Trudeau, I'm going to try and be nice here. He reads a script. He's an actor. He was born – I mean, his dad was a politician. We're not really sure which politician it was. There's a little conspiracy behind that.
Did his real dad like Cuban cigars? That's a question.
He may have. In any case, Trudeau is an actor. He doesn't say anything of substance ever. If you watch – actually, it's weirdly entertaining to watch the Canadian House of Commons. They chirp each other. They whistle. They jeer. It's kind of fun, actually. But you watch him in there, and he just says the same thing over and over and over again. He reads a script. You know, it's a running joke in Canada amongst conservatives. Mm-hmm. Trudeau's saying something. It doesn't matter. So everything that he's been saying about the Great Reset, so-called, it sounds pretty much the exact same as everything he said before. Because he's always been a globalist, he's always been a leftist, he's always been a Green New Deal, you know, whatever, the big government kind of guy. He's just using the current crisis as a justification to do more than he might have done otherwise.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I'd encourage everyone to go see the Michael Matt video called The Great Reset. It has a million or 2 million views. It's a very popular video. It's well done. And he splices together all these quotes from Soros to European royals to mega billionaires to tech presidents, board members, all of them using the language of reset.
Yes. Yeah.
And in a way, I mean, this is the Communist Manifesto. I think for them, it's kind of like the incarnation. Like you and I, we think of like, you know, time in terms of BC and AD. The communist is looking for that punctuation in time in which the world went from wicked to ideal. Marxist.
Yeah, it's messianic, the language they use, in a sense. I mean, I'm looking at stuff here I found. Well, did you see the article I sent you earlier from Time magazine?
No.
It's insane. It's called The Great Reset. So that's the Time magazine thing. Theirs is called I can't remember the name. But oh yeah, here it is. It's 2020 or 2023. Here is how we fix the global economy. So it's a work of fiction.
Right.
But it goes through all of the stuff, and they talk about, you know, they talk about how the virus is spreading all over the world and everyone's dying, and they had to rethink capitalism and the Green New Deal, and everything's carbon neutral, and we had this crisis and that crisis. It sounds like a work of fan fiction for their own initiatives. Mm. It's insane. And it's whether they've planned this or not. I mean, like all these things, I try to be realistic, but I try not to give the left more than their due.
Right.
But whatever it is, it's probably a bit of both. And they've had plans like this waiting. Klaus Schwab, he's the guy who's sort of the front man of this. But he's a German. And actually, I was thinking about this earlier. Pope Francis spent some time in Germany. And he had sort of a rebirth in his life while he was there. And there's a movie, a Spanish biopic about him. It's four parts. And they show his time in Germany. And he was kind of down in the dumps, whatever. He goes there to get refreshed, and he goes back and becomes this big leader in Argentina. And he spent that time in Germany. He's the exact same age as Klaus Schwab. And Klaus Schwab was a big, prominent academic espousing all of these ideals. And I was reading some of Klaus Schwab's works earlier. And I kid you not, I was thinking, like, we should play a game. We should put something from Pope Francis and something from Klaus Schwab. Don't say who said it and try to guess who said it. Because it sounds like the exact same thing.
Are you ready to do that?
Sure, let's do that. Do I have it, you mean?
Yeah, are you like playing for real?
Well,
like, do you really
want to do it? Let's just see here. Let me just look up a Klaus
Schwab. We got an audience here. It'd be interesting to see if they could.
Okay, let's just look up Klaus Schwab quote. And I'll look up a Pope Francis quote.
There we go.
And we'll see if we can do it.
We can see. And while you look that up, I'll say a few things.
Sure.
You know, it's people say, hey, let's not talk about problems in the church. That's not good for evangelization. Look, everyone that I talk to who's not Catholic, who's interested in talking about Catholicism, I had a conversation yesterday about this, brings up the fact, what is wrong with your Pope? He sounds like a Marxist. I have this conversation many times, and I'm telling you, it does inhibit evangelization. A Protestant who's looking into Catholicism doesn't want to join an organization that does liberation theology, socialism, and for them, redemption is save the planet. They know that that's not the religion of Jesus Christ, so they're not going to sign on. So we have this burden as Catholics to say, well, the Pope isn't infallible when he's on an airplane. He's not infallible on a tweet. And I, as a Catholic, you know, don't accept that. He said that. And it's a big, big mess.
Right. Yeah. It's true. So I got one here. Let's see if we can guess.
Let's play the game. For everybody joining just now, we're playing the game. Klaus Schwab?
Yes.
Did Schwab say it, or did Franciscus Bergoglio say it?
Yeah.
All right, let's play.
All right, it's right here. So,
give us A and give us B so people in the live chat can vote. We have about 1,500 people in the live chat right now.
All right, so I've got one quote here. It's pretty general, so I don't want to because obviously if I do something that talks about the Bible, we're going to know it's Pope Francis. Okay, so this is a general. Well, maybe, yeah, oh, my. Read Tutti Frutti, and it sounds like Klaus Schwab's speaking.
Right.
So here's a quote. See if people can see who it is. Okay, so to achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country must participate, and every industry, from oil and gas to tech, must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism.
Okay, that's A.
That's A.
Okay, give us B.
All right, let me just find here from another one.
So people are voting right now. Was quote A, was that Klaus Schwab or was that Francis Bergoglio?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So let's see here. Here we go. A decline in the birth rate, which leads to the aging of the population, together with the relegation of the elderly to a sad and lonely existence, is a subtle way of stating that it is all about us, that our individual concerns are the only thing that matters. I realize that some people are hesitant and fearful with regard to migrants. I consider this part of our natural instinct of self-defense. Yet it is also true that an individual and a people are only fruitful and productive if they're able to develop a creative openness.
Okay, A is Schwab, B is Francis.
Yeah, okay,
fine. Yeah. And I kind of cheated here, Kennedy, because the first quote had the word reset in it.
That's true.
And as far as I know, Francis has never used that word. We'd be all on that like a duck on a June bug.
That's true. I should have left that part out.
Yeah. If you'd left that out, I might have struggled a little bit. Though also the word migrants in quote B, that's kind of a Francis flag right there.
I guess. But anyway, there's like this one right here. This is, well, who's this from? We fail to keep our attention focused, to penetrate the heart of matters, and to recognize what is essential to give meaning to our lives. Freedom thus becomes an illusion that we are peddled, easily confused with the ability to navigate the internet. I don't even know what that means, but that's from...
That's a failure to navigate the internet. It's like, yeah. Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Open the wrong tab or something. Close the tab.
Yeah.
I don't know. On that one, I'm going to go with Francis.
That was Francis.
Okay.
That was from Tutti. That was from Fratelli Tutti.
Yeah.
And I just did a show on Fratelli Tutti. Well, Pope Francis and Freemasonry for the Fatima Center. That was fun. And I took all these quotes and I was reading other stuff for the Great Reset. And I was like, oh my goodness, I could copy and paste some of this. And if I took out a couple buzzwords, you know, like the word fraternity appears like 100 times in Francis' new encyclical.
Yeah.
The word salvation appears 0 times. But the word fraternity appears 100 times. If you took out some buzzwords, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this Great Reset. Everyone's getting turned on to it. Everybody's using the word Great Reset. I'm kind of wondering, is YouTube turned on to it? Are they going to ban this video? Are they going to demonetize this video because it has Great Reset in the title? Because there's been a lot of stuff coming. It's kind of the new conspiracy theory. But it can't be – Tucker Carlson has a good point. He says, this can't be a conspiracy theory if Justin Trudeau is actually using the term and George Soros and – major world leaders are using the term Great Reset. It's not like Alex Jones coined this, is making it popular. This is actually distilling the language that's being used out there on an international scale. But is it in the future or has it already happened? Is everybody watching right now? Have you already, because you've been watching Netflix and Marvel movies and you've been listening to Novus Ordo preaching for 30 years, are you already reset?
Yeah. I think Klaus Schwab wrote a book called The Great Reset, and it's like a bestseller. Yeah. So I don't think it's much of a secret. This thing ultimately it's just a instantiation of the Freemasonry kind of mindset. It's mm-hmm. There's no real religion. Everyone has to do obeisance ultimately to man. It's man-centered, so it's weirdly state-centered. There should be no borders. They're even talking about There's a video going around where they're showing how we're going to have plant-based meat. It's absolutely disgusting. They show they use 3D printers to make steaks.
Yeah, I saw that. I kind of threw up in my mouth. That was pretty gross.
Yeah, it's not really the carnivore diet. No. And it's everything. It's the Green New – like, so basically, if you have been supporting things like the environmentalist agenda for the last 30 years – and we're not talking about conservationism, you know, don't litter, that's fine. But if you've been, you know, basically pushing this idea that the world is on the brink – like, if I go to this article that I found from Time magazine, I highlighted some parts here. But one of the parts is about they basically say that everything was fine, but then they talk about – in the summer of 2022, because they're planning so far ahead,
yep.
The other major crises of our age took a turn for the apocalyptic. Climate breakdown finally landed in the developed world, testing the resilience of social systems. This kind of sounds like Pope Francis.
Mm.
In the Midwestern U.S., a severe drought wiped out crops that supplied 1/6 of the world's grain output. Makes you wonder what they're planning. People woke up to the need for governments to form a coordinated response to climate change and direct global fiscal stimulus in support of a green economy. This is insane. But this is climate environmentalism taken to the extreme. Yeah. And the way that we're dealing with the, you know, pathogen that we won't name that's out there, it's taking the worship of health and the healthcare mm-hmm. system. Mm-hmm. And it's all about systems. So if you've been supporting big government, if you've been supporting globalist agenda, if you've been supporting religious indifferentism, you're already part of the reset, plain and simple.
Yeah. And I've been – my new thing now is ecumenism is the religious version of globalism.
Exactly.
Oh, look at that Hindu lady. Mm-hmm. Boy, she sure is devout, loving her idols. Deep down inside, she's worshiping Jesus. She's going to heaven.
Oh my goodness. I know. Yep.
That's the great reset on religion. If you think like that, you've already been reset.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's even right now with obedience, okay?
Mm.
Obedience. Like, listen, there's true obedience. It exists. You know, I was praying the rosary earlier and I can't remember which mystery. I was using a recording while I was doing some work outside. And, you know, pray for the virtue of obedience for that mystery. Obedience is real. You have to obey your superior in all things lawful. If you take a religious vow because you're like a cloistered nun or something, then you obey in certain things because that's your state. Even if they're silly, but you do it as a penance. But the Novus Ordo form of obedience, and I've encountered this in my life, being a traditionalist amongst a bunch of Novus Ordo friends, you know, our bishop in our diocese is a total globalist. I mean, they've banned me from ever speaking in the diocese, so it's not like I can say anything and whatever. But, you know, like when the pandemic thing happened.
People need to know if I can just – people need to know that dioceses have a list of people who can't speak there. Did you know that?
Yeah. I was shadow banned.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's fine. They weren't going to invite me back anyway. But like when the pandemic happened, they stopped baptisms in our diocese. Which is insane because that's kind of necessary for salvation. I mean, it's kind of a big deal. And I talked to a priest friend who's a good friend. And he was like, well, I want to be careful about promoting doing it another way because I want to be obedient. But the thing is, if you've been in the Novus Ordo for years, okay, if you've been in the Novus Ordo and you've put up with everything because they've made you put up with a lot. They've made you put up with the liturgy being destroyed, everything.
You're like, well, I don't want to receive from a – lay Eucharistic minister, so I'll just walk around the back of the church and get in a different line. So you've played that game for decades now. We all know that game. But that does, over time, weaken us.
It breaks you down.
It breaks us down, yeah.
So then you look at – so then you have to convince yourself that by obeying these things that make you unhappy, somehow that's helping you grow in holiness,
mm-hmm.
which is possible, like I said, in certain contexts, but not when it offends God.
Yeah.
That's the kicker. So people now, in my opinion, this Novus Ordo form of obedience, because all grace comes into the world through the altar. So the health of the church is going to affect the health of the world. Yes. And Catholics now, even those of them who are pious, many of them will obey their bishops off a cliff.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the same thing in government. People will disregard what's staring us in the face because it's a so-called conspiracy theory. And it's a false form of obedience, I think.
Yep.
Yep.
And St. Thomas Aquinas is very clear. I thought Father Nolan of the Fraternity of St. Peter did a great job dissecting this. He said in order for a law to be a valid and real law, it must meet four conditions: the formal cause, the material cause, the efficient cause, and the final cause. This is Thomistic thinking. So the law must be in accord with reason. Mm-hmm. It must be for the common good. Mm-hmm. It must be made by proper authority, magistrate, and it must be published or promulgated.
Yep.
I can't make up a law and not tell anyone and then start arresting them for them. It has to be put out in the public. And when it comes to some of these things, they fail on, is it in accordance with reason and is it for the common good? Yeah, it might be the bishop, that's just authority.
Yep.
But if it's not in accordance with reason and it's not for the common good, it is not a valid and binding law, rule, precept, canon law, whatever. So, for example, one of the precepts of the church is we must support the pastors in the church financially. You can't get out of that, folks. You have to do it with your money. But it doesn't mean that you have to say, well, the bishop said I should give to the diocesan appeal, therefore I have to. No, you don't have to. If the bishop said all fathers of families must wear a rainbow bow in their hair in order to receive Holy Communion.
That's silly.
He'd be the authority to talk about something receiving communion, and he promulgated it. That's good, but it's not rational and it's not for the common good. So we wouldn't do it. And Kennedy, he didn't even have a hair to put the bow on. He put the bow in his beard.
Yeah.
Okay, so we would not have to obey it. And I'm sure, Kennedy, there'd be some Catholics out there and say, oh, Marshall and Hall, y'all are bad Catholics. The bishop said you must obey the bishop and wear the rainbow bow, hair bow in your hair, because bishop says, and we have to obey. But that's not Catholicism.
No, and it's not historical. It's ahistorical to have this type of obedience. It's not just Marcel Lefebvre. The reason why Marcel Lefebvre acted the way he did is because he looked at church history.
Right.
It's rare, and thankfully it's rare, but there are times when bishops and popes get a little bit crazy.
Yep.
When they get a little bit crazy, you say, well, I can't obey God and man at the same time if they're in contrast to one another. Right. So you obey God. But the whole while but it's a tragedy when it happens. It's not something you revel in. It's just something that happens. Yeah, St. Athanasius is a big example, but there are other ones. There are other non-saints who were just courageous men who at various times in England and places like that did it, and we're in one of those times. Right. We would like it to be that you could obey, and maybe you do have a good bishop. Like if you have a good bishop, you're very lucky, thanks be to God, push that and support that guy because that's awesome. If you have a bishop who says cancel baptisms because de facto he's saying you don't need it to be saved, that's a problem.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Maybe not. Maybe.
Yeah,
exactly.
Maybe. Yeah. Not maybe, but definitely not.
Yeah.
You know, one of the great I'm going to share this, actually. I've seen you talk about it. I've seen other Catholics talk about it. And it is the 1987. Is it Port Marly?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, let's show that because that, I think, shows a Catholic spirit of who do we obey? Yeah. Who is higher? So let me cue this up here.
Do you have the short version?
I think I have it. That's weird. It's not going to show. Oh, see. Some people, when they link, here it is.
Mike at RTF has the short version.
So it's going to be a little bit, I have to show things in Twitter. I find that if I show things in YouTube, things go wrong with the broadcast. So let's see if this works. Okay, here we go. So, you know, just kind of watching this, it's 1987. This is a town outside of France. I've looked it up. Do you know how far from France it is?
From Paris? It's a suburb. Like, it's within 20, 30 kilometers of Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm kind of losing.
I know it's a suburb of Paris.
I lost your volume. Go ahead and say something real quick.
It's about 20, 30 kilometers outside of Paris.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah. So
it's a suburb. It's a suburb.
It's a suburb. Okay, I'm going to fast forward to the battle ramp. So they're having an outdoor mass. They end up having a mass on the steps outside. As you can see, it's a traditional Latin mass. And then after the mass is over, some men who have some fortitude build a battling ram. And they're singing. Look at this.
The best line.
Love it. Here he goes. I see it cracking. Everyone, come on, let's go. And here they go into the church. Man, I love that.
Yep.
So what happened is they weren't having the traditional Latin mass there, so they used cinder blocks and they blocked up the door to the parish church. So they said, okay, we'll have mass outside the door, and then when mass is over, the men were just like, well, let's just break it down.
So I watched the was that the short version or the long version you had there?
It is 36 minutes long, okay. The video.
That's a long one. So okay. Mike at RTF did like a short version, which is for like 8 minutes.
Okay.
You can watch. It's good. That's the long one. That's like the original copy.
Yeah.
And there's an interview with the priest. He was actually, he's in a religious order, traditional, okay. But, Benedictine or something.
Yeah. I think he was Benedictine. Anyway,
but they had an interview after, and, because in France, the government owns all the churches.
That's right.
From the, you know, Third Republic, whatever.
Which is wrong.
So but... it's wrong, but it's hilarious because so, the people that wanted to do this were SSPX supporters.
Okay.
So basically,
yeah, it's 1987. So in case you're wondering, is that Institute of Christ the King? Is that Fraternity of St. Peter? In 1987, the only show in town, especially in France, going to be the Society of St. Pius X. Yeah.
So basically, this is the paradox for the French Catholics. If there's a mass said in a church once a year, the church gets to keep it. So the society was saying mass in that church because it wasn't being used because there's tons of empty churches in France.
Oh.
Yeah. So the bishop didn't like it of whatever. So he had to go to the government and say, I want you to lock this up. And the government said, well, are they not Catholic priests? And he had to say, well, yeah, they are Catholic priests.
And they're saying Catholic mass.
Exactly. So the government wouldn't shut it. Ironically, it was a vindication for the fact that they were priests. Anyway. So the bishop himself hired people to lock it. So when the priest was interviewed after, they said, well, how can you do this? He said, how can I do this? He said, how can the bishop commit such sacrilege and lock up the house of God as if it's a jail or something like that?
Yeah.
And it was just like, well, that's exactly it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
And this is a great example. I think these men, I think if our Lord Jesus Christ returned an hour later, he would say to those men with the battling ram, well done, guys. That was great.
I think so.
And I think he would turn to the bishop and say, what are you doing locking people out of churches?
Well, maybe we can talk about how our bishops and the Holy Father, like all the policies and initiatives fit right in with the Great Reset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing is, you know, there's these videos coming out of Rome right now. I don't know if you've seen them, of these ecology liturgies. Have you seen them? So everyone stands in a circle, and there's priests. Cardinal Turkson was involved in one of them recently. So they stand in a circle, and they plant a tree in the middle. And there's, like, some prayers and things going on, and it looks like a sacramental rite for a new ecumenical religion. So it's sort of like depositing a tree or a new life in that spot, which actually is kind of artificial because in nature, you don't take trees, saplings, and move them to different places. The nut falls into the ground and the tree comes up in that spot, right?
It's all artificial.
Yeah, it's super artificial. So this is this new religion, and it looks like what's going to happen is the seven sacraments and the rituals of the Catholic Church are going to be – it's going to be like – don't eat meat on Friday. We all used to do it. It's highly recommended. But if you want to substitute something else,
can you eat the new meat?
You can, you can do that as well. But what's really important is we get onto these globalist pan-ecumenical rituals that a Muslim can do, a Jew can do, a Hindu can do, a Catholic can do. These are going to be the new things, part of the new cultus of the globalist reset agenda. And I really do think that that's where they're going, and I really do think that's what Francis wants to do.
You know, I had a conversation with a friend a couple of years ago, and or a year ago, and she was saying that she had this feeling. She's one of the, she sees things kind of before they come, and she had this feeling that we were going to get to a point where the diocese was kind of going to be a little bit irrelevant, mm-hmm. because there was going to be this, it wasn't really going to matter if you were part of it, that they were, she basically had this idea it would be religious indifferentism taken to the extreme,
right?
Where Sunday obligation would be something like, just make sure you sanctify the day at right. any Christian church sort of thing.
Right. Or just recognize the deity on that day.
Yeah, which is Freemason.
If that means stand around a tree and hold hands.
So was the Great Reset Vatican II then? I mean, we keep, you know what I mean? Like, we keep thinking it's already happened. I'm thinking in the church, all of this stuff is the fruits of the major changes.
Right.
Has that already happened in the church?
I mean, certainly if you went and polled Catholics in a, I mean, it's hard to now because of Corona shutdowns, but before 2020, if you had just gone to a random parish in Chicago or Detroit or LA, New York, Philly with a survey and just asked people, you know, are all religions good? Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, do babies have original sin? I think most people would say probably no. We know because they did poll all these people. Is the Eucharist really the body and blood, or is it a symbol? And 70% said it's a symbol, not the body and blood of Jesus. So something has been reset in the church where people with just basic catechisms of, you know, what you would have read on the first 9 pages of the Baltimore Catechism, people don't know that. And not only they don't know it, they actually would say the opposite of what's in these little kid catechisms used for First Communion.
Yeah, pretty much. So what should we do? What should we do going forward then? I mean, if we're going to live in this Great Reset, what's that going to mean for us as Catholics?
Well, that's a rhetorical question because we both know the answer to it, especially as dads. And that is, we cannot compromise with the ecumenical, modernist, globalist agenda. We must practice the faith as we saw those men and women on the screen with the way Catholics worshiped God, understood God, taught their children about God in the traditional catechisms and in the traditional liturgy.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been reading a lot about what it's like to live under communism because I'm trying to figure out current events in Canada. Mm-hmm. But Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I've never read all his works. He's written like 50,000 pages, but some of his stuff is real good. And one of the things you come to realize when you talk to people who grew up under communism, for one, the city is always going to be the toughest place to get away from all the nonsense because that's the hub of everything. And secondly, if you work really hard and you – like right now in Canada, we still have homeschooling. Mm-hmm. There's no talk at all of that being taken away. It's not even on the table. Right. You can still be Catholic. There's no persecution. I mean, the masses are getting locked down, but that's sort of, we'll see how that works out. It depends on where you live. So as long as you can take care of your household, even people that grew up under communism, like Archbishop Schneider or Bishop Schneider,
right?
As long as your parents are strong in the faith, and they probably even had to put their kids in communist schools because it was, their homeschooling wasn't a thing.
Right.
If you have the ability to homeschool, or you have good Catholic schools because they're still around or whatever, then you can still pretty much make your Catholic life. You're going to have to make some sacrifices, perhaps with certain social things. But here in Canada, I mean, yeah, everyone's sort of bloodthirsty for the whole Great Reset. But at the same time, you can just sort of try to live your life. So I find talking to a lot of people about this, they start to kind of despair. It's like, guys, we've already – if you think things are going to be much different in 6 months than they were 6 months ago, they're not really going to be that much different in your life unless you bring it into your home. You were already living in a place with high taxes. You were already living in a place with a healthcare system that ruled your life. Mm-hmm. You already lived in a place with Marxism and all the institutions. Now they're just being open about it. But you can still control what comes into your house.
But I think the people who argue of the coming Great Reset say that's all going to be short term.
You think so? Yeah. I don't know. Like, it depends on your country too. I mean, I was reading from Bloomberg the other day, which is by no means a conservative outlet. And they were basically saying, yeah, they see a lot of social unrest coming. Some governments will be toppled. Some will be more repressive and so on and so forth. Obviously, that's going to happen. Right. But it'll depend where you go. I mean, you live in the States. Texas is your governor's basis that we're not locking down again. And then at the same time, California exists. there's different sides of the universe existing in the same country. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens depending on where you live. And not everywhere's going to be the same because it never is.
Yeah. Which brings up the question of great Catholic migration. Many Catholics are asking themselves this question, where do I move in my nation? Or some people say a different nation, where I will not be required to expose my family, myself, my children to the policies and beliefs of the Great Reset. And where can I go where I have a traditional Latin Mass?
Yep.
And then a lot of people are asking the question, which is a good one, because, you know, the Catholic Church for 2,000 years has not been a homeschool movement.
Exactly.
Technically, the Catholic Church believes in parochial schools. That's historic. And I think, you know, we trads are all about homeschool, but we've kind of need to realize that the really trad way to do education is boys' schools and female schools separated, mm-hmm. not co-ed, and then a curriculum that is integrated with the Catholic faith.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. So many people are asking, okay, well, is there a place I can live where I also get that? You know?
Yep.
And yeah, people are moving. Yeah. And, you know, obviously Los Angeles is not one of those places. I can't see how you could raise a traditional family of 8 kids in LA. I'm sure there's some holy people out there doing that. But man, that seems like a really, really rough go.
Yep. And I think the main thing people have to do is try to get out of the cities because, you know, like moving countries is really hard. And, you know, yep. We've thought about it. Like, you can't even cross the border right now with my family, let alone move. They're not going to give visas. But in any case, moving is tough mm-hmm. for your whole family. And so I was talking to my priest last summer when I was trying to figure out what to do. I wasn't sure it was going to come down the pike. And he basically said, Kennedy, you just got to draw, you got to figure out, you got to pray, and you got to draw a line in the sand. Because everywhere you go is going to have problems.
Yeah.
And that's true. You know, like, for example, you might think, well, I want to move to a great Catholic country like Italy, you know, historically. And it's like, well, Italy's got its problems, right? But, you know, you'd be near a lot of churches, which is great.
Right.
Or you might want to move to somewhere with a great Catholic community, but it's in a state that's really messed up.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be problems.
Yeah.
So some places are better than others. So you have to have your line in the sand. So for us, it's schooling. Mm-hmm. We do have the option to homeschool, and we do have a traditional Catholic academy 20-minute drive away if we want to send our kids there, which is rare and wonderful.
It is, yeah.
So for us, basically the lines in the sand are schooling and vaccine. Mm-hmm. Not that people – I'm not going to go pro or con against vaccines in general. I'm just saying in a country where they force you to do it, we don't have that in Canada. Thanks be to God, we don't have that.
You don't?
We don't have forced vaccines.
Hmm. What if you want to go to public school?
You don't have forced vaccines. What they do is they make you do like a re-education, you know. So basically when you're like 15 or 16, they call your parents and they say you basically end up going to do a class with a bunch of Mennonites and hippies who don't do it. And more and more Catholics. And they just basically say, if you don't vaccinate your kids, you're a bad person, but we can't force you. And everyone leaves saying, yep, knew that already. So you don't have to, but then you do have to for certain country things. Like to go to the Caribbean, I think you have to get one of the Hep B. Point is, we don't have a forced vaccine mandate in Canada, and it doesn't. They're not saying it's going to happen for the coronavirus. They're not saying it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, I don't know what to think. I don't think it's going to happen in Canada, only because I know 95% of people will already do it. And I think for them, it's just about having control of the way people think. And as long as everyone thinks they should and acts that way, I think they're happy. I might be wrong. But for us, that's a line in the sand. So if someone knocks on my door and says, give me your arm or I'm going to put you in jail.
Right.
I got to move.
Yeah.
But I can put up with, for example, like we might not have, it might be, we might have to look for creative ways to have mass this Christmas. We might be having a procession outside led by our priests and praying, and it'll be wonderful because of the lockdown. I'm not going to move 2,000 miles away just because I will have that necessarily.
Right.
Because that's not my line in the sand, because that eventually will pass in some way. So you just got to pick your line in your sand for yourself.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, I can't stress how important it is that young Catholics out there marry devout Catholics.
Yeah.
I just don't see how you could raise kids if one parent's Catholic and the other's not. In our time period, I mean, the entire world is fighting for your child's soul. And you're going to, what do you call in hockey when you're missing a guy?
You're shorthanded.
Huh? That's what it's called?
You're shorthanded.
That's the term?
Yeah.
I thought they had a cooler name than that.
Well, the power play is when
that's it. Power play.
But that's when you have the advantage.
Yes. Well, okay. So if your spouse isn't plugged in Catholic, then the world has the power play on your kids. That's is that the correct term?
I get it. You're Canadian now.
You got toss me a freaking bone here, Kennedy. I'm from Texas. I have been to a couple of Dallas Stars game, but I don't know what's going on there.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. So you got to find the lines in the sand to protect your kids. So if there's no encroachment in your home and you can have practice your faith, you're lucky compared to some people historically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But.
And if you live in a situation like Athanasius Schneider grew up in, total communist, priest coming in. If you read Schneider's book,
Christus Vincit.
Christus Vincit. If you read his book, he talks about how Catholics had to marry themselves without a priest, mm-hmm. which is valid.
Yep.
There's no priest who can get married with witnesses. And then when the priest came to town once a year, he'd assemble everybody who got married and he'd give them the blessing. But they were already married in the eyes of the church. I mean, that's some real oppression right there.
I think that's coming in Canada.
You think so?
Well, this is what I think is going to happen, and this is going to be accelerated by the Great Reset. We have religious freedoms, whatever that means, in Canada, but it's getting more narrow for things that are government controlled. So the marriage, technically speaking, controls your marriage license, or the government, technically speaking, controls your marriage license. So as it stands, if you're a secular justice of the peace or minister, whatever you want to call it, who just does marriages for people in their backyards, you have to offer your marriage to all types of marriages.
Right.
So people can fill in the blank with that. Now, so far, the church doesn't have to do that. But there have been rumblings with certain Christians who themselves aren't pastors, of whatever that means, but they offer marriages kind of like, because Protestants will just get married in their backyard and in front of Jesus or whatever. So like a lot of them just have their marriage licenses and they just do that. Some of them have had to lose their licenses because they don't technically have the religious exemption because they're not a clergy.
Okay.
It's a matter of time before, in my opinion, they go after the clergy and say, you have to allow this or you don't have the licensing. So I think that I think preemptively, Catholic priests should start encouraging their flock to think about whether or not they even want the license, because the license, you already get common law if you live together for a year.
Wow.
So as long as your address is the same for 6 months, let's say you put your address the same 6 months before your marriage and 6 months into it, your tax thing is all sorted out. It's the same thing.
What if it's like two dudes?
What do you mean?
Like two dudes. Do they get common law?
Everyone who is living together and applies for it.
Okay, there's an application.
There's an application.
It'd be kind of a bummer if you got a roommate and then like a year later, the tax form comes in. It's like, you're married to this dude.
No, it's, you have to apply for it.
Okay.
You have to apply for it. Okay. Yeah. But it'll be interesting though, because we have some cultures that do polygamy, and I don't know how the government is going to say that we're not going to have that, because they don't have any grounds to stand on.
Right.
And there's rumblings about that too. So my whole thing is that I think Catholics pretty soon in Canada, within the next 10 years, are going to have to just get married religiously and not civilly.
But then after 6 months, they'll apply and get the
common law
marriage,
which is for taxes. And that's fine. Your life is the same. Change your name, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Because now, one of the things that's, I think, most intimidating about this, Kennedy, is an impending schism.
Yep.
In which the cardinals and the bishops go over to the secularists. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, you know, we are going to do, if two dudes want the nuptial blessing, we're just going to do it. We're going to have a little change of a word so that it's not, the word sacrament's not used. We're still going to do it. Everybody just accept it. No big deal. Love is love. James Martin's here. He's going to give a little talk about it. I can really see him going there. Call me crazy.
No, you're not crazy.
Can you see, you don't have to name names, but the local cardinal, archbishop of where you live being like, yeah, just, you know, we're going to recognize a imperfect, broken situation, but God is there, and we're going to bless that.
Well, I was talking to my buddies in the Slack the other day, and actually, Cardinal Collins is here in Toronto, and he's disappointed me in the past, but the other day, he did something actually pretty good, and he called out some people on the school board who were basically saying you shouldn't use a catechism, and he called them out, public letter, and I was like, he said, hey, would you guys shout down Christ for saying repent because the kingdom of God is at hand or whatever?
The answer is yes, they would.
Yeah, but he called him out. He said, like, you guys would shout down Jesus Christ, and you've taken an oath to say that you'd obey the magisterium and whatever. Anyway, it was good. Like, it's knowing proper. What I've seen in Catholic education, like, I was misty-eyed. I was like, it was like a father finally standing up for his faithful sons. I was very happy. I support him 100% in what he did. I wish he would do some more and tell them to keep the churches open in Toronto because they would listen to him. But nonetheless, right. that was good. That was a win. I think there's already a de facto schism.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So it's material, though. It's right. Difference between material and formal. You know, Lefebvre used to say this. You know, it was like you've separated yourself from Jesus Christ because you've denied the dogmas of the Catholic Church openly. Right. But it's not declared on you because no one will.
Yeah.
So we already live in two different Catholic churches.
Yeah.
There's the one that's faithful to Jesus Christ, and there's the one that's faithful to the Great Reset.
Yep.
Whatever to the UN, to whatever, Freemasonry, whatever you want to call it. It's just different names for the same thing. The devil has different disguises.
People who want to keep scripture and tradition
and the
magisterium, and then the people who want to adapt scripture, tradition, and the magisterium to the modern age, modernists.
Yeah. Did you catch the bishops' conference the other day? Was it Thomas Father Reese or something? SJ.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that they have the bishops' conference has no authority to tell Joe Biden he can't take communion.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I said, thank you. You're admitting that the bishops' conference has no authority. That means it's illicit. So I'm just laughing. I'm going, you've admitted that the bishops' conference itself has no authority over spiritual matters.
Yeah.
But you masquerade yourself as being some sort of governing body. That's a schism. Like that's a de facto parallel church. What does Vigano call it? Does he call it the parallel church or the anti-church?
Parallel church, anti-church, uses a lot of different languages for it. Yeah.
It's already happened. So it's like the Great Reset. It's already happened. We're already under Marxism in some way. The reality is now the devil's just, I've got a kid walking in.
I got a kid?
Oh, that's yours. I thought it was mine.
Come in.
And it's already happened. Just like the schism.
Yep. Yep. Who we got here?
Who's this one?
Who we got? Hey, we got a Lizzie. How are you?
Hello.
What do you need right now?
You know Jude's old bike?
His old bike, yes. What about his old bike?
I ride it now.
You riding the old bike? No training wheels and everything? Good job. All right. I'm going to go back to this video. You want to go back to the bike? All right. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Awesome. Just in case y'all want to know, she's now riding her older brother's bike. That's worth a interruption.
My 5-year-old learned to ride no training wheels this summer when he was still 4. It was pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah, you get those little balance bikes on these kids.
The kick bikes?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Man, yeah, they learn quick. They learn quick. But yeah, Father Reese.
He said they have no authority.
Yeah.
Then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you? I mean, I don't know what, you know, so the schism's already there. Mike Church, our friend Mike Church, mm-hmm. He's got some of the best political commentary because he's seen it all, right?
Yep.
And he basically said whatever happens in the election, which there's some interesting stuff going on today with the whole Pennsylvania thing. Donald never stops fighting. He said national schism is coming. Like you've already got it's like a divorce. You know, you've already got states that are saying whatever you want to do, Biden, if you're president, I'm not going to do that because that's crazy. You know, South Dakota, whatever. And then if Trump is declared the winner through the courts or whatever, then the same thing. I mean, you have de facto a schism between like a New York state is a different country than Texas.
Right.
You know, in the church, SSPX, FSS, good traditional places.
Yep.
Offer you a different religion than what you get at your average Novus Ordo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's already, it's de facto already a separation. Yep. And the Great Reset stuff is just going to exasperate that because you're going to see, and I've sympathized, all my conservative Catholic friends sticking it out, wearing the masks, you know, not receiving because they can't receive on the tongue. Like they're, I get it. They're trying to be obedient stuff. But pretty soon, you're not going to have masks for 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
And the traditional priests, whether they can offer you mass or not, they're going to be getting you the sacraments.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, oh my goodness, it's almost like there's two different churches. And then when you come back in May, when they finally have the miracle snake oil and they finally get you back, all of a sudden you're going to have these new liturgies. You're going to have these new processes. Well, we've realized that we've fasted from the Eucharist for so long that we don't need to be rigid. We don't need to be stuck in our ways of receiving on the tongue and being showy and whatever about our piety.
Right.
So we're going to have communion services. Now, as long as we sanitize our hands and we've all had the vaccine, we're going to pass around the communion bowl.
Right.
I guarantee you'll see that somewhere.
Yeah.
And you're going to go, this is a different religion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Great Reset religion.
Yep.
So what do you do? I don't know.
There'll be the holy water stoop and there'll be the Purell pump. Holy water optional, Purell pump not optional.
Yeah, our priests, when we were doing summer masses outside to you know, we could have a lot of people outside. We could only have like 50 inside. So.
Right.
And they did it. It was great. I mean, you prefer inside. But they would bring around exercised water with exercise salt.
Well, I'm doing a show here. I'm doing a podcast.
I ride it up the seat with all the way up.
You ride with the seat all the way up. Wow, that's great.
With big wheels.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to finish this show on the Great Reset, okay?
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Yes, liturgies will – I wouldn't be surprised if cutesy little people now every time they make a new set of vestments, they're going to throw in the liturgical color – mask for the priest.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, oh, it's Lent. I got my purple mask with the silk damask that matches my vestment.
You got rose one day a year.
Yeah.
Rose mask one day a year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if vestments starting having environmentalist symbols on them.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I won't be surprised if they start bringing in liturgical events such as, now remember, Earth Day's coming up. So we're all going to meet out. We have a big circle and we're going to plant a tree together. And the children's choir are going to sing the UN's eco theme.
We used to go to a parish for the TLM It was like a TLM community, you know, in this Novus Ordo parish. It was a beautiful old church. But anyway, one of the reasons why we decided that we were just going to stop going there is I saw on the bulletin that the parish priest was having eco jazz vespers.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
With an Anglican priest.
At the church.
Yep.
Don't like that.
Eco jazz vespers with an Anglican priest.
Oh, man. All you got to do is add the word smooth, eco smooth jazz vespers. It's even worse. But that's the only way to make it worse.
It was worse. It was bad. So it was kind of like, well, and now that place no longer has a TLM.
Surprise, surprise.
It was reset. Coronavirus got rid of it.
Yeah. The great reset.
Yep.
All right. Well, lots to think here. Lots to think about here, folks. Especially if you have kids.
Yep.
Especially if you're a dad. Can't just wing it. You need a plan. And like we say, read the scriptures. Pray the rosary every single day. If you don't pray the rosary, what happens, Kennedy?
You're not on the team. Yep.
We're fighting a war, and you're sitting over there playing hanky-panky over there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just you're doing nothing to help us. We need you praying the rosary, right? We need you praying the rosary every single day. And you have a book with a provocative title. That kind of touches on these things. Before we sign off, why don't you tell people about the book?
Sure. The book it's my second book. It's called Family Be Damned. And it's about how it's actually set during the lockdown, and it's how devils destroy families during the lockdown.
Okay.
So perhaps it's I wrote it in a way where you could actually give it to a secular person. The thing about Catholic stuff is if you write about demons, secular people will listen or watch something that is theologically orthodox as long as it's about demons. It's like, right? You know, it's like The Exorcist basically true.
Right.
You know, it's effects, but they'll watch it. Anyway, so this book's called Family Be Damned, my second book. The first one was called Terror of Demons. If you go to kennedyhall.ca, so it's kennedyhall.ca, it's right there on the homepage. It's on Amazon, and it brings you through a family during the lockdown, and it shows what the devils do. And it's hopeful. It's not like it's a depressing thing. So maybe it's an interesting idea for a Christmas gift for people.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's written like kind of like Screwtape letters.
Yeah. It's written in letter format.
Right.
Actually, I was keyed on to Dracula by you a couple years ago. You talked about in a Halloween episode. So I read Dracula.
Yeah.
And I was inspired by the letter format.
It's an epistle novel.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about demons is that they go after you mainly psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
So you're home, you get laid off, right? And you're idle and you feel emasculated and you're not going to the sacraments. So you're sacramentally a little bit weak and whatever. So that's where the stuff starts. You know, they start to play with your family. So it goes through how a devil actually tries to take down a family. And there is a hopeful ending. I won't give it away too much. But I've had people – it's got – 5 stars so far on Amazon, and people who have read it said Mike Church said he cried when he read it, and he said that publicly. So
we were not just saying Mike Church cried when he read it.
Mike Church, he's a sweetheart, you can just tell. But he said someone else said that it really captured the spirit of the times. So just they kind of read it, and it was fun for me to write because when you're talking as a demon, you can say things that you wouldn't otherwise get away with.
Right.
So I was able to point out certain things And I think people will enjoy it. And it's a quick read. It's like 130 pages. You can read it 10 minutes at a time. You can read it in 2 afternoons. And it's something you can give to people too.
Cool. Let me put it – I'm going to throw it up on the screen so people can get a feel for it. See if this works. Yeah, here we go. Here it is. Kennedy's book, Family Be Damned.
And shout out to Tim and his wife, Meaning a Catholic, for helping me get that done because they did all the editing and everything.
Very nice. Very nice. There it is. Okay, great. Everybody check it out. Get some reading down here at Christmas.
Yeah.
Going into Christmas. All right, folks. Pray that rosary every day. And we're going to close up with the Ave Maria. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Sancta Maria Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
Nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right. Well, Kennedy Hall, thanks for being on today. Thanks for talking about Great Reset. Please like this video, y'all. And like I said, YouTube doesn't love anything Great Reset, so share it. And please subscribe if you're new. Check out Kennedy Hall's book, Family Be Damned, about living in the lockdown scenario and what the demons would persuade you without grace, what they would persuade you to do. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless. Godspeed. Kennedy, thanks.
Thank you.